Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the things you are doing regularly when you are in seminary is writing thank you notes. There are gifts coming in to you by individual congregations, by individuals, by the district, and they all need to be acknowledged. And polite thank you notes have to be sent because that keeps the donors happy and everything else would be impolite and the next time you won't get a letter with a nice check in it. What we have today in our letter to the Philippians is actually something like a thank you note, an acknowledgement of a gift. Even though, if you look at that thank you note, nobody at the seminary probably will say, if you want to know how to write a thank you note, look at Philippians 4, 10 to 20. First of all, Paul never ever says thank you. It's not in there. Rather, he acknowledges the receipt of the gift in a rather business-like language. I have received full payment. That's what you write in a business letter, but not necessarily in a thank you note. And then he is asserting that he doesn't really need the gift. Write that in your thank you note, and you won't have any need to write any more. For Paul was self-funded. He was, as he called it in Greek, autarkos, autarctic. That's actually a word that only comes, is in the New Testament here once. Paul takes up this word, a favorite word of the Stoics of the time, self-sufficient. The Stoics thought that self-sufficiency was necessary for the sage, because if you depend on other people, you'll be unhappy. But if you find everything in yourself, well, then you can be happy all the time. Now, Paul uses this word, but of course, he doesn't say he finds everything in himself. Now, he does find his livelihood through his work. He supported himself by his tent making. He provided for himself by the labor of his hands, so to be not a burden on anybody, and also so that there is no idea that Paul is in this preaching and missionary business for the sake of money. Though Paul also acknowledged that this is his personal choice, not a divine command. Other apostles lived from the gifts that Christians gave to them. Paul chooses not to do so. Paul can even argue that those who preach the gospel should live off the gospel. So receiving these gifts from the Philippians puts him in a difficult situation. For Paul has neither asked for it, nor does he need it. And thus he asserts that he knows how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. Here is another one of those words that only appear once in the New Testament. I have learned the secret, mu, which is related to our word mystic or mysticism. So, Paul has received an initiation. Now, this is not some kind of a secret handshake, you know, or that you now can wear a silly apron or something like that. It's not through an elaborate liturgical ritual where you are introduced into the secrets of death and resurrection and go through it and participate in the divine life. Rather, Paul uses here in an almost ironic way, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What's the secret about that? What do you have to learn to face hunger and abundance? Can't you do that by yourself? Plenty of people face that every day. So what is the secret? What has he learned? He has learned that neither hunger nor plenty, neither abundance nor need have power over him. In that sense, he's similar to the Stoics. But he doesn't find that resilience in himself. he finds that resilience in Christ. The fear of the future, the fear of need, has no power over him because Paul finds his abundance in Christ. But Paul also wants to acknowledge that the Philippians were concerned about him, even though he says it was not necessary. And so he rejoices in the Lord. It's the first thing he says, rejoices in the Lord for the gift in which he sees the love of the Philippians and the fruit of faith, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. This is why in the service we call the collection of money the offering. If you think of it from the Old Testament, you would think, well, we have to have some bulls, lambs, right? Or at least some doves whose neck we can wring. No, we are collecting money. It's not just filthy lucre we are collecting. We are collecting gifts, what for? So that those who are in the office can dedicate their entire time to the office. We call it an offering because those gifts collected should be what Paul calls them here, an expression of love and concern, a fragrant offering to God. But what do we do who either are on the payroll of congregations or a synod or study to be on that payroll in the future with this pericope? How do we feel about that? Tent making? Is that now the appeal to be ready to be a worker priest? As said before, Paul does not make himself the model for ministry for all times. No, in that he is an exception, just as he is the exception also as the one who has no family, no wife. Maybe you feel somewhat akin to being an initiate, to facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, especially the latter part, even though, of course, there's always the food bank that will take off the edge of any hunger. Talking about money in the church is never easy. After all, one of the popular anti-Christian slurs is, well, the church, they only want your money. All they are talking about is money, money, money. That is easy to refute if you actually go to church and listen what is talked about, at least the Lutheran church. Of course, there are those who have made Christianity a business, who have made Christianity a racket. But that's not what Christianity is about. Pastors are not paid for religious services. They receive a stipend that they don't need to have a regular job and can dedicate their full time to the preaching office. What you get is free time to spend preaching and teaching and studying. An honest discussion what that means in dollars and cents so that the congregation shares also in the trouble of the pastor to make ends meet, just as the Philippians shared in Paul's trouble, is necessary, even though it is difficult. Yes, in the church we have to talk about money. And money is always a touchy subject. When you're newly married, the two big landmines are in-laws and money. How should it be different in the church? In-laws, not so much, that's not the problem, but money. But to look at money, the gifts of money, as an expression of love and as fragrant offering for the sake of the gospel should teach us to look at money properly. So when we look at our text, we may stand here with admiration for Paul, maybe a little bit even of envy, for he, after all, seemed to have an easier life. He did not depend on a salary. He did not have to support a family. He never seemed to worry about a mortgage. He had no house. but also feeling that this is not quite our world, just as your world will not be most likely to be an itinerant missionary. So what do we do with this text then? First, we see that Paul is not taken captive by concern about money. There is this autarkia, this sufficiency, not again because he himself is such a great guy and has this inner strength. He's not afraid of the future. He's not afraid of where does my living come from, because he knows that this is taken care of because he trusts in Christ. It's a wonderful freedom that money can no longer take us captive, make us afraid, cause us sleepless nights, because the Lord will provide. And secondly, we see in this text that the gifts of a congregation for the preaching of the gospel, and be it at home or in faraway countries, are an expression of concern of this congregation for the pastor. They are an expression of love, and that is a reason to be thankful. And we should say thank you, even if Paul doesn't do it here. And those gifts are fruits of faith. They are part of the true worship of God. Yes, we can worship God with dollars and cents, for they give time for the preacher, time that he spends in speaking the word of God, time that he spends in doing the work of the ministry. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.